Right now, we are joined by the head of the Chapel Hill Public Library, who's been waiting very patiently, Susan Brown. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hello. We have had the nerdiest conversation about gerrymandering while the microphones
were
off.
Who is this gerrymander? What's he doing right now?
His name is Elbridge Gerry, and he was James Madison's vice president.
Hashtag wannabe librarian.
You asked me.
Hashtag could have been a librarian. I'm so impressed.
His name was actually
Gerry. Do you even
know
his middle name?
I don't know. I don't know if they had middle names back then. Those were the olden days.
Was he?
He was James Madison's vice president, since you asked.
That's right. I did ask.
He was also, I believe, governor of Massachusetts, and it was in that role that he redrew the district lines for Massachusetts in such a way as to benefit his party over the other guys.
What was then known as gerrymandering.
It was then known as being a jerk, and they changed it to gerrymandering, and then it just looks like gerrymandering, so I think over history people just started making that mistake, and then it stuck.
Is it a GIF or is it a GIF?
It's a moving JPEG.
Ooh,
yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I shared with me, I'm not sure if the folks in Virginia, but since you shared that, I will share the joke that I was working on my dad. Mm-hmm. Whenever you say things like, "Dad, would you like some rosemary focaccia?"
Yes.
Rosemary focaccia. I went to high school with a gal named Rosemary Focaccia. She was an exchange student from Italy that year. So I could hear my dad say, "I went to high school with a fellow named Gerrymander."
And he was an exchange student.
No, I think he was in the FFA.
Oh, he was in the FFA,
Gerrymander sounds
yes.
like somebody who would
that's
be in the
true,
FFA.
That's true,
maybe.
He was. What does FFA stand for? Should
wow,
I get the bleeps
really?
Ready?
Future Farmers of America.
I know what the FFA stands for. I was giving you an opportunity to come up with something else. I have never once asked my father if he wanted a rosemary focaccia.
Well, no. I don't think I ever have.
No, I think you
like
have, actually. You were very specific about rosemary focaccia. I feel like that's an actual conversation that's
right,
happened.
Right, it may have.
Would you like more unlimited breadsticks? I went to a high school with unlimited breadsticks.
I was driving over here, and I heard you say, coming up at 4:30, we'll be talking
yes.
to Susan Brown.
Yes.
And then you said, about redistricting and something. I was like, uh-oh, I'm totally not ready. But then I was like, I'm never ready
it's
for
fine,
whatever
yeah.
we talk about. So
I think I messed up that sentence. I corrected myself
you
later.
Did.
I was like,
you
we're
did.
Not actually talking with her about gerrymandering. But now, look, we've spent the last 3 minutes talking
about
gerrymandering.
About
my prediction has come true.
What are we actually going to talk about today,
rivalries.
Aaron? Yes.
Duke Carolina.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're wearing a shirt with kind of both colors.
I am wearing
Did
a shirt.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes. This is my I'm just rooting for everyone to have a good time shirt.
Right.
I wear it 3 times a year. Duke Carolina basketball game A, Duke Carolina basketball game B, and the football game in November or whenever.
Because they only play that once.
They
right.
only play
yeah,
that once, right.
right.
And then
right.
I guess in the ACC tournament, if they play again, I'm going to have to do laundry in those 4 days in between.
But who are you really rooting for, Aaron?
Why are you putting me on the spot like this? I will say, and I will alienate a number of Tar Heel fans by saying this, because I was a Duke fan growing up all my life, uh-huh. and then I moved down here. I actually worked for Duke for a couple of years, so like I've got that Duke connection. The longer I'm here, and the longer I work here at the Tar Heel station, the more Carolina I become. And now I'm just kind of neutral. So I'm actually excited about this game because I'm just looking forward to a good game one way or the other. But I will say that my favorite Duke Carolina memory is still the one that the dagger in the hearts of a lot of Tar Heels fans recently, which is the Austin Rivers game from a few years ago, only because I was there. I actually happened to be in the Smith Center, and I've never been present for a sporting event that was just that exciting and that thrilling, and just the whole arena was into it, and it was just this unbelievable moment. So regardless of the outcome there, that right there is just an example of just how great a rivalry this is. And there are great moments like that on both sides of the rivalry, and it's just you go there and it's just this unbelievable atmosphere. I'll stop talking now.
That was great.
Yeah. But
and that shirt, that's a great choice.
It's a great shirt. It's Duke blue in the center and Carolina blue on the sleeves.
I think there's technically more Duke blue. Therefore,
Well, I think if you put the sleeves together,
it's the stripes. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, it's just one stripe down the.
I'm going to get a tape measure.
We're describing something that no one can see.
I know. Let's talk about books then.
We're talking about books, which also no one can see. But
epic rivalry.
Yes. So, what is your Carolina Duke experience? First of all, because you're just here from a few years ago. So, how are you getting into the Carolina Duke
thing? Well, I lived here before.
You lived here before. Yeah, that's true.
I came to UNC for graduate school. Oh, we lived in the area for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because I was in graduate school with a lot of people who became super fans.
Yes.
I don't like Carolina. Mm. I definitely don't like Duke.
Okay, good, good.
But also, I think that for me, my college team alliance is with my undergrad.
Okay.
So I'm a Virginia Tech Hokie. So when it's Tech UVA time, stop it. When it's UVA Tech playing, I get really riled up.
Okay,
and also,
gotcha.
My family are Hokies. So that's where my alliance is.
So your family isn't like the divided split with half Virginia, half Tech. Okay, good.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, and Tech is much more of a football team.
Right.
So football season is when I get geared
up. Yeah, okay, awesome.
But I will say, I remember it was when I was living here before, and we were hanging out at what was in Henderson Street Bar and Grill when I was in graduate school. And whatever game it was, this was like around 99, 2000, 2001, and the game put UNC in the Final Four, I believe.
Yes, that would have been 2000, I guess, if it was one of those years.
And the bar just cleared out, and they were doing the Franklin Street thing.
Yes,
so we're like, let's go. And it's me, so I'm like, let's not just go out there. Let's get in the middle of it.
Get
up. We fight our way through the crowd. We're linking arms, and we get up there. And right as we get up there, like, they're setting stuff on fire. Like, somebody had brought a mattress out, and they were making a fire. I was like, let's go back to the bar. Thousands of people and fire.
Yeah.
But I have lived in the two big college basketball towns. Lawrence, Kansas, the
and
same
Chapel
way.
Hill.
They would go out onto the streets and set things on fire.
Don't get me started about setting things on fire, because I grew up in Lansing, and when that happens in East Lansing, it's exactly the same stupid celebration in East Lansing as it is in every other city, college town in the world. But for whatever reason, Michigan State has the reputation for being horrible, criminal. Everyone gets arrested. People get expelled. It's this national thing. Everyone's on TV the next day going, shame on them. It's the same celebration. They take pictures of it here and sell them at the student store anyway.
So right now, people...
They should do it this way in East Lansing. I'm just saying.
Right now, people that don't normally listen to us are like, man, they're talking basketball, sports. I should tune in more. And then all the people that normally listen to us are like, when are they going to talk about the books?
Yeah, we're getting to it. We're getting to it. Okay, so it's an epic rivalry day.
Yes,
we're talking about epic rivalries in literature. So what are the great epic rivalries in literature?
Yeah. So I didn't do that at all.
Oh, good Lord.
I thought about that. But then I was like, so one thing I did was I was like, I'm just going to search the word rivalry in our catalog.
I did all of this work.
Well, I know. I did some work. I just did less of it.
Okay, good.
I let the computer do the work for me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Okay.
All
so
right.
I put in the word rivalry in the catalog.
Yes.
And what I loved about it is that so many different things came up. So basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great work by John Feinstein about the Army-Navy football rivalry. Then we get to the Founding Fathers, Jefferson versus Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
Lots and lots of books about dealing with sibling rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Elizabeth, the Tudors, there's all kinds of things. Lots and lots of sports
I didn't even
books.
Think about the Founding Fathers. Now I'm upset with myself.
Right?
Yeah.
There's tons of them. Kennedy versus
Nixon.
I know
who James Madison's vice president was,
and I didn't think of the Founding Fathers.
Yeah.
Kennedy versus Nixon, all of these things. But the one that I discovered by searching is the first one that I'm going to talk about.
All right, here we go.
So I may even read a passage. So I found this book that we have, and I'm going to take it home and read it, and then I'll bring it back so others can. It's called Rock and Roll Cage Match.
I like that cover.
Right? Rock and Roll Cage Match, Music's Greatest Rivalries Decided.
Nice.
Right?
Oh, nice. So it's like... Is it like rock scholars writing on?
It's rock scholars. It's journalists. It's artists themselves. It's rock critics.
Oh, God. And Springsteen.
Wait a minute. I'm going to wait. So it's got things like Devo versus Kraftwerk. You've always wondered.
I have always wondered about that one. Yeah.
In my household, there's the sibling rivalry thing, but we also, a frequent dinner conversation is
Devo versus Kraftwerk.
Spider-Man and Batman got in a fight, who would win?
Oh, right.
Right?
Batman.
So this is perfect for us. No, Spider-Man.
What?
But anyways, you'll have to come to dinner. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So we have, let's see, Hall & Oates versus Simon & Garfunkel.
Simon & Garfunkel.
Phil Collins versus Sting.
Phil Collins.
NWA versus Wu-Tang Clan.
NWA.
So, right, those are your knee jerks, but these are all different essays. And some of them, even if you don't agree with their choice, the writing is outstanding.
Awesome.
So there's one written by a guy named Russ Menev, who's, I think, a comedian. I'm not sure. But he's a Jersey guy, and he breaks down Bruce Springsteen versus Bon Jovi.
Springsteen.
No, Bon Jovi, in his world, totally wins.
Oh, no, of course, because he's been to a bar in New Jersey where they play nothing but Bon Jovi for nine straight hours.
And I'll just read one quick passage. John Bon Jovi is a musical mega god whose prolific and extremely versatile genius has made him one of the greatest artists of all time.
I do like Bon Jovi.
His songs are not only awesome, but he sings like a nightingale. A nightingale with kick butt hair, good looks, and monster style. Bruce Springsteen, on the other hand, not only looks like, but should be, a guy being worked over in the back of a saloon. It's just awesome. And it goes on and on and on.
All
so
right.
If you like rivalries, if you like music, most of these are like 3 pages long. Some of them are very serious. Some of them are very academic. And some of them are really, really funny. I highly recommend Rock and Roll Cage Match.
I got to say, I disagree with the situation there on Springsteen versus Jovi.
Oh, right.
But,
I do too. I would pick Springsteen hands
second,
down.
Right? Yeah,
no
of
doubt.
Course.
But reading this didn't make me rethink my choice.
Okay.
It made me appreciate the writing. And
that's cool. It is
even
really good writing. I like that.
Bon
yeah.
Jovi. It's really, really funny.
That's cool. All right. So Rock and Roll Cage Match.
There's graphic novel one that I thought of you.
There's a comic. Nice.
The album versus the single.
Ooh.
It's great. Rock and Roll
album,
Cage
right.
Match. Oh, totally.
Totally the album. All right. So I don't have anything that exciting, unfortunately, but you mentioned graphic novels, so I'll give you my graphic novel. You said Batman versus Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I thought Batman versus the Joker, so I'm going with The Killing Joke by Alan Moore, which is the classic Batman Joker comic. It's quick. It's a one-shot. It's iconic. It's very dark, but and it really adds to just there's so much of the Batman story, like the narrative that we just sort of generally know about Batman, you know, that that didn't exist
that,
before
right.
The Killing Joke came along, and it didn't come along that long ago, and now it's just sort of standard as part of the Batman mythos. It's so influential. It's really good. So if you like Batman
the killing
comic books,
joke.
The Killing Joke, yeah.
Okay,
it's
so
all about the Joker's origin, kind of.
Okay,
but there's
so
more to it than that.
Perfect segue. Because I was thinking epic rivalries, generally there's good versus evil,
right,
UNC
right.
versus Duke. We all know
yes.
who is that in that equation.
Evil is NC State.
They weren't even in there. And
yeah,
I like the Ag School.
And yet.
Virginia Tech Hokie.
Yeah.
I got some,
okay.
you know, some NC State love there. But thinking about good versus evil and rethinking origins and going beyond the story that we all think we know, I thought of The Wizard of Oz, which the epic
right.
good versus evil. And then that led me to Wicked by Gregory McGuire, which
I
many people know from
book.
The musical. It's
yeah.
a fabulous book.
The
it's such
musical,
a good book.
It's. I don't think the musical is my favorite, but it's up there as, like, it's so good, but I haven't read the book, so.
Right. So the book
last,
opens with the Wicked Witch as a girl,
mm-hmm.
As a child, and it takes you through, it's not just the story from her perspective, because lots of books sort of retell a story from a different character's point of view. It reimagines the entire universe and the entire story, and who you might have been rooting for before might change as you read this.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend Wicked by Gregory McGuire.
The last time I went to see, and I've been to see Wicked the musical a couple of times, the last time I went to see it with a friend of mine, Jeff, who loves the book and was raving
yeah.
about both simultaneously on our way out. Like, oh, the musical is great, but the book just goes into so much more detail and it's deeper and a little bit darker. And yeah, so I need to check that out. All right. So I'm going to recommend go from the twist on a kid's book to just a straight up kid's book. And it's one that we've talked about before. I thought about sibling rivalries.
Yes.
And the first one I thought of, and I had to look up the title, was Who Needs a Bratty Brother by, I can't even remember
by
who.
My older child?
Probably, yeah.
By Jacob Brown.
Linda somebody, I can't remember what her name was, but that made me think of, oh, of course, the great sibling rivalry in children's literature, Peter and Fudge.
Yes.
Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing so and Super Fudge.
Almost on my list.
We still haven't overlapped.
I was thinking, though, that you were going to go with Beezus and
Ramona. I almost did.
But Peter and Fudge, absolutely.
Yeah. It's either and both, because they're both great sibling rivalries. Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Eat it or wear it.
That's right. Eat it or wear it.
Eat it or wear it.
So the last one I've got goes right back to basketball, and I don't think I've talked about this book before. One time we talked about To Hate Like This Is to Be Happy Forever,
which is
all about the rivalry. But I also wanted to highlight a book called Four Corners, How UNC, NC State, Duke, and Wake Forest Made North Carolina the Center of the Basketball Universe.
Nice.
It's a very good book because it traces that sort of modern era, but it goes much further back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a fan of basketball in general, college basketball, any of the Tobacco Road basketball rivalries, I recommend Four Corners by Joe Menzer.
I like it. I think we'll stop right there. I don't have any recommendations that are better than that.
Drops the mic.
No, it's attached to a thing.
Right.
For just that reason, people would just be dropping the mic left and right on their way out the door. But those recommendations and a whole lot more, check out the ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org for more details.
.org.
Yeah, ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org, I think.
And come by tomorrow at 3:30 to see the author of Noah's Wife, who was with you yesterday.
Yes. Right.
She will be there at 3:30, and she will be speaking at 4 o'clock, and her name is Lindsay Stark.
Her name is Lindsay Stark, yes. She was here like a day ago, and I'm looking it up really quick.
That's the Friends Meet the Author tea.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. And she read a passage from Noah's Wife, and it was really, really good.
Was Bon Jovi in it?
No, so it was really, really good. Oh, man.
Okay.
Living on a prayer right there. All right, we got to let you go. But Susan Brown, thank you so much. Who are you rooting for tonight?
Virginia Tech.
Virginia
Absolutely.
Tech.
Virginia
awesome.
Tech.
By 15
go
points.
Hokies.